Of Pain and Paper Bracelets, a Daredevil fanfic written and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. Matt decides it's time to tell Foggy the truth, the entire dark and painful truth. And if Foggy wants to leave him because of it, well, at least he still has all possibilities open, right? Matt ran a hand underneath the sleeve of his t-shirt, where both of them knew he had a long, faint scar. Foggy had asked him about it before, and while Matt hadn't told him the entire truth, he knew that he had gotten it when he was freshly orphaned and still learning to navigate the world without a sight. "It stick," Matt muttered, not daring to look at Foggy even though he couldn't see him anyway. "Stick?" Foggy asked, confused for a moment before he realized that that was the man the orphanage had hired to teach Matt everything a blind boy needed to know about the world. "Your teacher?" "It's..." Matt sighed again, but he realized it was time to tell Foggy the truth, and the whole truth this time. "It's more complicated than that." Foggy slowly got up, still holding Matt's other hand. He carefully pulled Matt to his feet and rested his arms around his waist. "Then how about we go home, get comfortable with a cold drink, and you explain it to me?" he asked carefully. "I won't push you, but I'm listening." Matt nodded slowly, fiddling at one of the cuts in his lips. "I love you, Matt." Foggy breathed, gently pulling his hand away and taking a look at the small cuts in his hand. "Love you," Matt muttered, taking another minute to fully make his way back to reality. When he did, he pulled his sleeve down, making sure it hit the entire scar, and brushed the last bit of waffle from his leg. "Let's go home." "You want another ice cream?" Foggy suggested, half teasing, but when Matt didn't immediately react, he nudged his side before offering his arm to guide him. "I mean, you only had half of the first one." Frowning, Matt turned in Foggy's direction. He tilted his head, trying to figure out if Foggy was mocking him or if he was actually offering. And that was when Foggy caught up to his confusion. He laughed fondly, pulling Matt a little closer. "I was joking at first, but if you want another, we can make the detour. You deserve a treat for making it through a panic attack." "But I dropped the first one," Matt muttered, hearing the nuns yelling at kids for dropping their ice cream on his head. "Matt, it's ice cream. It doesn't matter. And buying another is hardly going to break the bank," Foggy promised. "Come, let's get you another for the way home." Matt nodded, clinging to Foggy and overwhelmed with emotions again, but he didn't drift away this time. It took them longer than it usually would to walk home, since Matt was still hazy from the effects of the panic attack and also distracted by the ice cream. But Foggy was there, steady and safe against the overwhelming world on fire around Matt. He led them through the busy streets and up the stairs to their fourth floor walk-up, and once they were in the apartment, he even led Matt to the couch to make sure he was okay. "Water?" Foggy suggested while slipping his shoes off by the door. "Or lemonade?" Matt thought about it for a second while licking a drop of strawberry ice cream off his thumb. Then he asked hesitantly, "Beer?" Foggy didn't seem entirely convinced it was a good idea, but he didn't comment, instead just getting two bottles from the fridge before dropping them on the couch next to Matt. They sat there quietly for a few minutes, drinking their beer and touching their legs, but not speaking or moving much otherwise. Until Foggy broke the silence. "Buddy, I can only begin to understand your life. I don't know what it's like to lose your family, your sight, or to grow up in an orphanage, but I have known you for a bit now, and..." He struggled to find the right words for a moment and seemed to decide to just start over. "I want you to be able to tell me the things you struggle with. And even if there isn't much that can be done about them, I hope it can make you feel less alone." Matt just nodded, fidgeting with the label of his bottle for a moment. When he spoke, his voice was rough and it was hard to get the words out. "It's not just that. Yes, going blind was hard and losing my dad was even harder, but..." He had to swallow against the lump in his throat. "But that's only the beginning." When Matt didn't talk anymore for a long minute, Foggy realized he was waiting for some kind of rejection or ridicule. But he was not about to fill that image Matt had of everyone around him, or maybe better, of himself. Instead, he turned so he could fully focus on Matt and rested a light hand on his shoulder. Then why don't you start there and tell me however much you're comfortable sharing? Matt turned as if to look at him instinctively, and there was a kind of surprise in his expression, which Foggy had seen too many times that day already. Foggy pinned his bottle between his legs and cupped Matt's face with his now free hand. Buddy, I'm being honest here. I want to know about your past. I want to know what you're dealing with and what's going on in your mind when you're not okay. Matt sighed again and tilted his head in the way he had before he finally, actually, started telling his story. I want to tell you everything. It's hard. You're not going to want to believe me, and you're probably going to feel betrayed in a way. Matt said it hesitantly, and he had by then peeled the label of his bottle almost entirely. I promise I didn't keep it from you because I don't love you. I've never really told anyone, except Stick and my dad. Told anyone what, Matty? Foggy asked worriedly. You're scaring me, buddy. Matt drained his bottle and then just started explaining everything. He started in the beginning and only stopped the day Stick left him. It all started with the accident. You know the story. A truck lost control, a guy was about to get hit, and a young hero saved him, but he lost his sight as a result of the chemicals the truck was carrying spilling over his face. Foggy nodded. He had read the article. Matt was a sort of living legend in Hell's Kitchen. What the article don't say, because no one but my dad knew, is that I didn't just lose my sight that day. I gained otherwise heightened senses. Matt could hear the stumble in Foggy's heartbeat and breathing, but his partner didn't say anything, so Matt continued. I can hear, smell, taste, and feel superhumanly well. I can hear your heartbeat. I can hear the heartbeat of everyone in this building and the next building over. I can smell that Mrs. Cobus across the street is making her famous lasagna, and I can feel the vibrations of the subway beneath us. You can hear my heartbeat? Foggy asked hesitantly. There was defensiveness in his voice, but it wasn't the kind of anger or even disgust Matt had expected. Matt just nodded. He didn't want to share more than he had to if Foggy was only going to reject him. Dude, you're basically a human lie detector, Foggy exclaimed. No wonder you bust everyone's asses in the mock trials. Matt blinked at him for a second. You're not mad at me? I mean, maybe a little. It's kind of super invasive. I think I'd like to know that before we've lived together for so long. But it's not like you're doing it on purpose, or you could just, I don't know, stop or turn it off, right? Matt shook his head. No, it's always there, whether I want it or not. That's probably why you're so particular about some things, too, huh? Foggy asked, calming his excitement a little and eyeing Matt with a new reason to worry now. I can imagine that gets too much pretty quickly. Matt nodded. I can hear everyone and everything around me at all times. I can feel movements in the air. I can taste and smell every person, animal, and most plants and other things around me. That's a lot. If there's anything I can do to make it easier, just tell me, okay? Foggy carefully took Matt's hand. It's going to take some adjustment, but I want to support you in this as much as I can. Thank you, Fox, Matt said, and as he took his glasses off, Foggy could see that he had tears in his eyes. I have not told anyone about this since Stick. Thank you for trusting me, Foggy breathed, gently running a hand through his hair. I promise your secret is safe with me. For a moment, they just sat there. Matt was trying to get his emotions under control enough to tell the rest of his story, and Foggy was halfway fighting the hundreds of questions swirling through his mind to stay there, at least for now, and halfway fighting the instincts to wrap Matt up in a blanket and never let anything bad happen to him ever again. It was way too warm for that anyway. Matt choked it out after a while of relative silence. That's still just the beginning. My offer still stands. Foggy reassured him. Tell me as much as you're ready to share. I want to know what's going on in that pretty head of yours. Matt sniffled a little, and he could feel himself starting to shake, but he knew that it would take just as much, probably even more courage, to tell the story another time. And Foggy deserved to know the whole truth. He deserved to know in how many ways Matt was broken. After the accident, I told my dad. I didn't understand it back then, and he didn't either, but he tried to help me. We never had a lot of money, but he did everything he could to get me the help I needed. I sighed. I knew he was almost working himself into the ground, but there was nothing I could do to help him. He took me to Fogwell's, and the other guys and him helped me with my homework and learning how to use the cane and everything. Foggy smiled, thinking about how Matt was stumbling around the gym, a bunch of boxes fuzzing over him. I heard how Sweeney offered him the deal, the fight with Creel. He was supposed to lose. He was supposed to get a lot of money for it. For me. Matt sighed. He didn't want to do it. He wanted me to see him win just one time, even if it meant he'd have to face the consequences for it. Matt picked at the cards in his hand again, and Foggy stilled the movement. It's not your fault, Matty. Matt nodded, but the words didn't register. I heard the shot. I knew it was him. I ran out there. It was just around the corner. He was almost home. Now tears were actually starting to run down his face. He was dead instantly. I didn't even get to say goodbye. Foggy didn't know what to do. He wanted to comfort Matt, but he knew that everything he could do or say would be nothing more than a drop in a bushfire. They took me to St. Agnes. They gave me a room, and they told me my dad had left me some money to go to college one day. That I was lucky. Some of the kids there didn't have that fortune. He scoffed, as if that would have helped me in any way. He ran a hand through his hair and chewed his lip for a moment. I couldn't deal with it. The nuns didn't know about my senses, and I wasn't allowed to see the guys at Fogwell's anymore. Everything was too much, too loud, too different. They hired Stick. He was supposed to teach me how to deal with being blind, but he knew about my senses. He told me something about fighting and about a secret war I was destined to be a soldier in, or something. I didn't understand that either. I still don't. Matt fidgeted with his watch now. He needed something, anything, to keep his hands occupied. He taught me how to control my senses and how to focus them on a few things instead of taking in everything. But he also taught me how to fight and how to obey. He taught me not to break under torture. He taught me... Matt couldn't get the words out. As much as he wanted Foggy to know the truth, he didn't want him to see that part of him. The part that let Stick do that to him. Matty, what did he do to you? Foggy asked, the worry now seeping from every cell of his body, and he couldn't resist pulling Matt into a protective hug anymore. Despite the heat that still filled the apartment, even as the afternoon changed into evening. He taught me to resist pain, sensory deprivation, and sensory overload. He said he needed to know that no matter what they did to me, I wouldn't reveal his secrets. Matt breathed, hiding his face in Foggy's shirt. Matty. Foggy gently stroked his back and caught his fingers into the hair at the back of his head. You were a child. The only thing you were supposed to learn was school stuff, how to deal with your disability, with the grief for your dad. Not shit like that. But couldn't stop the words from breaking out anymore. He didn't have control over his mind anymore. He just had to tell Foggy. He owed it to him. After everything they had been through, he taught me... He broke off, having to take a gasping breath. He told me how to resist when someone touches me. Seduces me when someone goes all the way. Matthew, that's not teaching! Foggy exclaimed in shock, a little too loud for the small apartment to take. That's rape. No, I let him do it. He never did anything I told him not to do. Matt pulled back, trying to get Foggy to see what really happened. Matthew, were 10. Even if you actually wanted it, that's way too young to consent. You've heard the same lectures on that I did. You know this. He cupped his boyfriend's face with both hands, looking into eyes full of pain and bad memories. I'm sorry he did this to you. I'm sorry he hurt you, and I'm sorry he made you think it was okay. It wasn't. He's an asshole. No one deserves to be treated like that, especially not a young boy who just lost the most important person in his life. Stick. Matt started, but couldn't get any more words out about the things Stick had done to him. about rough hands touching him and about how he had taken his innocence and about how he had invaded his privacy again and again and again. He left me. He said instead, he wanted to teach me how to use knives next. I had made him a bracelet from an ice cream wrapper. He just left. I had grown too attached, he said. I was too soft, useless as a fighter. Shit. Boogie breathed and pulled the bracelet he had made earlier, which had caused a panic attack at the park, from his pocket. That's why you freaked out earlier, isn't it? Because I made this? He asked, carefully putting the fragile ring into Matt's open hands. Matt nodded. Matt, in the park, the family with the dog, the hot dog stand, the ice cream. It all mixed together. It was too much at once. I'm sorry. Foggy caught a tear with his hand and tilted his head a little. It's not your fault. Matt breathed, feeling over the bracelet for a moment and slipping it over his hand in the next. You didn't know. I do now. He ran his hand over the bracelet on Matt's wrist. I promise you, I will never let anyone hurt you like that again. I promise you, I will never hurt you like that. He realized something that he had been thinking about for a while, probably since they had had sex together for the first time. Matt? He asked quietly. Can I ask you a difficult question? Matt nodded slowly, worried about what Foggy wanted to know. Do you actually like sex? Foggy asked hesitantly. I know you seem to enjoy it, but you're also always skittish and nervous and jumpy somehow. Matt was surprised by that question. He'd expected a lot, but nothing like that. I don't know, he admitted. It's not like I don't enjoy it, I never feel like I want to have sex. I've never met anyone that actually wanted to fuck them or something. Can you promise me something? Foggy asked again. Can you promise me that you're honest with me when I want sex? Matt frowned. He didn't know what Foggy wanted from him. You never have to do anything you don't want to. Foggy took his hand in his again. If you say no, that's okay. I can respect that. If you don't want to do something or don't want sex at all, that's okay. And you don't have to. No questions asked, he promised. I just want you to be honest. This relationship only works if we both feel happy and safe. Matt stammered. I can try, but... He broke off again, but Foggy just gave him the time he needed to find the right words. I don't know how much will be left that way. Matt admitted it after a minute. I'm not actually sure how much I actually enjoy or how much I just think I should enjoy. That's okay, Foggy promised. We can figure that out together. He intertwined his fingers and pulled Matt a little closer again. And if you don't want to have sex at all, or for a while, or maybe even forever, he said it hesitantly, trying not to freak Matt out too much, that's okay too. I don't need to have sex with you to have a good relationship with you. I'll still love you just as much.